Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Shane Kennedy, the youth minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Shane's message.
Well, good morning. Today is our Senior Sunday, as you have heard mentioned. It's a day when we honor our graduating high school seniors and encourage them as they prepare to enter this next stage of life. And seniors, I hope that you are reminded this morning of just how much you are loved by this church. And I hope also that you are reminded of all the faith lessons that have been passed on to you from this church family. And we hope that you carry those with you in these next few years and for the rest of your lives as well. Well, I love that Senior Sunday is one of our traditions here at 10th and Broad that we've done for many years, because I believe it is a worthwhile tradition. So why do we do Senior Sunday? Why set aside a Sunday to honor or focus just a small portion of our church family? Well, one of the reasons that we do it is because as a church family, we love our young people. And so as we honor our kindergarten graduates and we honor our senior or high school graduates, one of the reasons we do that is because that is a great opportunity for us to express our love for the younger generations of our church. Another reason we do Senior Sunday is because this is a significant transition that these graduating seniors are experiencing as they are moving from adolescence towards adulthood, as they close their years in high school and then get ready for college or the work field. They are going through a major transition, and they also are probably experiencing a significant transition in their faith as well. That as they're moving to greater independence, they probably are also moving to greater independence in their faith as well, that they're taking more and more ownership of their own faith and their beliefs and not just simply basing it on the beliefs or faith of their parents. So we want to walk alongside them and give them support and encouragement as they experience this transition. And then one more reason we do Senior Sunday is because as a church family, we love to celebrate. We have chosen celebration as one of our core values as a church. And so this morning, we want to celebrate what God has done in the lives of these seniors. And we want to celebrate preemptively what He is going to do in the future in their lives. So I encourage you to join with me in celebrating them this morning. Well, our senior class this year is a special group, and our youth group loves you very much, and we are going to miss you. But even though we are going to miss you as part of our youth ministry, we are very excited about your future and very excited about what God is going to do in your future. Well, in this stage of life, you're going to face and already are facing lots of questions and decisions about your focus for the future. That you are deciding, what am I going to do after high school? Am I going to go to college? What college am I going to go to? Am I going to pursue, or what career or major am I going to pursue? And some of you are still figuring that out, and that's okay. I know that I didn't have it completely figured out at that time. And some of you have plans now that very well may change later. But what I want to do this morning, we're going to do something a little fun. We're going to play a game, and this game I'm going to show you different college courses that are offered by different colleges around our country, and you are going to determine whether it is a real class that is actually offered or whether it is fake or made up, okay? So maybe this game, if you don't know what you're going to do, maybe it can provide you some inspiration for your future and what you want to pursue as a career. So as we play this game, if you think it's a real college course and everyone can play and participate, you can give me a thumbs up, okay? If you think it is a fake college course, then give me a thumbs down, all right? So the first one is Board Gaming 101, offered by Temple University. I hope that's a real class. That sounds like a lot of fun to me. So real or fake? Real, thumbs up. Fake, thumbs down. Let's see what the answer is. Is it real or fake? Fake, not a real class. I was thinking about going back to college there for a second. All right, let's look at the next one. The Science of Harry Potter, offered by Frostburg State University. What do you think? Can that be real? Real or fake? See a lot of thumbs up. Let's see, what is it? Real. That may be why I've never heard of Frostburg State University. I don't know. All right, next one. The Amazing World of Bubbles by Caltech University. I know my daughter would love to take this class. She's a big fan of bubbles. So you kind of split. Let's see what it is. Real. It sounds scientific, doesn't it? Amazing World of Bubbles. Okay, next one. Emoji design at Columbia Art School. Surely that's a form of art, isn't it? Emoji art. Real or fake? Let's see. That is fake. Thought like it could be real, maybe. All right, next one. Getting dressed, offered at Princeton University. Now, I know some college students that actually probably could benefit from this class. Let's see, real or fake? Real. Really interested to see what they teach in that class. That's interesting. All right, next one. Stupidity at Occidental College? I don't know. I don't know if that can that be taught or is that just natural? I don't know. Let's see, real or fake? Real, that's a real class. I want to see what they talk about in that class. That's interesting. All right, next one. Tree climbing at Cornell University. Maybe a physical education credit, I don't know. Let's see, is it a real course? Real, okay. Next one. Cat dissection at Butler University. I know there are classes where they dissect cats, but is there a whole class focused on cat dissection? Let's see. Real or fake? Fake. No cat dissection class. Next one. Learning from YouTube from Pitzer College. Some of you may be asking, what is a YouTube? Let's see. Is this real or fake? Real. I wonder what they learned from YouTube. Then one last one. Underwater basket weaving. Surely that's not real. That's too silly. Let's see, real or fake? That is a real class. Don't you just feel better now about our universities and the higher education that's offered in our country? Well, seniors, if you didn't know what career to pursue before this, maybe I've given you some inspiration. I know your parents would probably be proud to have an accomplished underwater basket weaver in the family. So maybe that's something you're gonna wanna pursue. Well, that was obviously a silly game, but you really are facing these choices of what career am I going to pursue? What am I going to major in? And you may even have to choose different college courses that you're going to take. But that actually isn't the biggest question that you're facing right now. Although it may seem like a pretty big question as you try to decide on career, there's actually a bigger question that you are facing. And this question actually shapes your answer to all other questions. The answer to this question will shape your relationships. It will shape how you spend your time and your money and your energy. It'll shape all the choices that you make. And that question is, what is going to be your central focus in life? What is it that's going to be most important to you or most valuable to you that will shape everything that you do? Well, there are many voices in this world that will want to have input on your answer to that question. There are many different things that the world will tell you should be what is most important to you. Things like money or wealth, or maybe success in your education or in your career, or fame or notoriety, maybe pleasure or beauty, relationships. The list can go on and on. And none of these things are necessarily bad, but should they really be what is most important? Are those really the things that matter most and will lead to a truly fulfilling life? There's a quote by a famous Christian author, Francis Chan. In his book, Crazy Love, he says, "Our greatest fear should not be of failure, but of succeeding at things in life that don't really matter." So our greatest fear should not be a failure, but of succeeding at things in life that don't really matter. So what are those things that really do matter? What are those things that we should put our focus on, that we should hold as most important or most valuable to us? I want to look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 through 12 this morning as our central passage. Paul writes this letter to his young pupil Timothy as Paul sits in prison in Rome. And Paul has been in prison because of his faith, because he has taught others about Christ. And 2 Timothy, we believe, is the last letter that we have in our Bible written by Paul. He writes it to this dear friend, Timothy. We believe that his imprisonment ends in execution and his death, and that's why we believe this is the last letter that we have from him. But Paul and Timothy have a very special relationship with one another. Paul first met Timothy on one of his missionary journeys in the city of Lystra. And Timothy at that time was a young man, probably a teenager, and he was a believer in Christ, and that faith had been passed on to him by his mother and his grandmother, and the church in Lystra spoke very well of Timothy, and so Paul was impressed with him, and he decided that he was going to take him with him along on his missionary journeys, and that he was going to become a mentor to Timothy to model for him what it looks like to follow Christ and what it looks like to really serve the church. And he even writes, when he writes these letters to Timothy, Paul addresses Timothy as his dear son, just indicating the type of relationship that they have with one another. So 2 Timothy is one of the most personal and intimate letters that we have from Paul and in our Bible. Can you imagine just how important these words must have been to Timothy as he read this letter from his beloved mentor? And he knows that maybe these may be the last words that he receives from Paul as he sits in prison and possibly faces execution. Can you imagine how many times Timothy read this letter and how he cherished each word, really trying to soak up what it was that Paul was trying to communicate to him? Well, Paul writes to encourage Timothy as he tries to live for Jesus and he tries to serve the church. See, Paul had sent Timothy to the church in the city of Ephesus. And this was a church that Paul dearly loved because it was one that he even helped start. And so Paul trusted Timothy to care for that church. And so he offers him encouragement as he tries to lead and point that church to Christ. Paul encourages Timothy to stay faithful to Jesus and to his calling to serve the church during a time when it was really hard to stay faithful. You see, Timothy was facing pressure both from outside the church and inside the church. Outside the church, he faced the pressure of Roman persecution. It was becoming increasingly more dangerous to be a Christian at that time, with Christians possibly facing arrest or even execution, like Paul is experiencing at this time. And then he also faces pressure within the church. That within the church, he's dealing with people that are teaching things about Christ that aren't true and that are even trying to discredit Timothy as a leader, either pointing to his youth or even pointing to his association with Paul, disqualifying him as a leader. I'm sure there were times for Timothy when it might have been tempting to walk away from his faith or to walk away from his calling to serve this church, or to maybe just keep his faith quiet in this time when it was dangerous to have a faith in Jesus. But Paul writes to him, encouraging him to not be ashamed of the message of Jesus, but to live for him even when it is difficult. And so he reminds him of the things that really do matter, those things that should be most dear to us, that should be the things that we focus on. I think this letter is very relevant to you seniors. That you, like Timothy, are a young Christian trying to follow Jesus and trying to care for the church, but you also face pressures from all around you tempting you to maybe set aside your faith or just make it less important in your life. Often during these years after high school, many people walk away from their faith or walk away from the church. I want you to hear Paul's words this morning as he talks about those things that we should place our focus on and hold as most important. So I want to read 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. This is Paul speaking to Timothy. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I might be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. These words really give us insight into the relationship that Paul and Timothy had with one another. Paul tells Timothy that day and night he prays for him and thanks God for him. And he says he remembers the tears that they shed the last time they parted, maybe when Paul was arrested. And he says, I long to see you, Timothy, so that I can be filled with joy. Paul and Timothy had a very loving relationship with each other that I think is a great example for us. And then Paul reminds Timothy of his mother and grandmother, Eunice and Lois, and the sincere faith in Jesus that they had. And he tells Timothy, I see that faith in you. So the first thing that Paul encourages Timothy to let be his focus, that I think also serves as an encouragement to us, is to remember the faith passed on to you. Remember the faith passed on to you. You seniors are Christians today because people in your life who loved you taught you about Jesus. Parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, Sunday school teachers, ministers, they modeled for you what it looks like to follow Jesus. I encourage you to not forget those faith lessons that those people have passed on to you. And I also encourage you to continue to lean on them during these next years of your life and throughout your life. Identify those people in your life who are faithfully following Jesus and look to them as an example and as a mentor. Be willing to go to these people and ask them for advice. Talk to them about what's going on in your life. Ask them to pray for you and pray with you. Study the Bible with them. We need those Loises or Eunices or Pauls in our life to look to as an example and to help us grow as we strive to follow Jesus. Let's continue to read in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Paul reminds Timothy to continue to use the gifts that God has given him through his Spirit. Use them to serve God and to serve the church. So that is the next truth I think we can take away from Paul's encouragement here of things that we should focus on, is that we should focus on fan into flame the gifts God gave you. We want to use the gifts that God has given us. Through his Spirit, God gifted Timothy with gifts of teaching and of leading that he intended for Timothy to use to point others to Christ. But we know from Scripture also that God gives gifts to each one of his followers. And he gives different gifts to different followers, but they're all for the same purpose of serving God and building up the church. We have a very gifted group of seniors. We pointed out some of those gifts that y'all have last night during our senior devotional. Some of our youth group spoke encouragement to you. But as I look at this group and I look at your gifts, I see gifts of encouraging, serving, leadership, generosity. Use those gifts that God has given you. Develop those gifts. When I think of Paul's words, when he talks about fan into flame the gifts that God has given you or the gift of God, I have a weird mind, but I think of the show Survivor. I've watched probably since season 2 of Survivor, and I think they're on like season 34 now. I've watched kind of on and off during that time. But one of the things they have to do on that show is they're trying to survive in the wild. They always have to figure out how to make fire. And it's always entertaining to watch as they try to rub two sticks together and they try to create this fire. And as they get a little bit of smoke or a little bit of flame, it's very important they got to feed that fire with kindling and they blow on that fire so that they can build that flame up and make it grow into something that's useful. That's what I think of here as Paul talks about fanning into flame the gifts that God has given us. That the way we do that is we put our gifts into use. That we don't keep them to ourselves, but we use them in a way that it's going to serve others and serve God. We try to develop those gifts and refine them so that they can come and become something that God can use for his purposes. So I encourage y'all to fan into flame the gifts that God gave you. Back to 2 Timothy, verse 7. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So the next encouragement we can take from Paul of where we should place our focus is that he encourages us to live by the spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. I think it would have been very easy for Timothy, as he faces all these different difficulties and pressures, to be timid in his faith or in his leadership. But Paul reminds him that he has the Spirit of God living inside of him, and this is a spirit that gives you power and love and self-discipline in your life. That's a promise that we also have as followers of Jesus, that God has given his Spirit to live in us. And although there's times when we face difficulty and it will be tempting to be timid in our faith, we also must remember that the Spirit of God has been placed inside of us. And this is the Spirit that gives us power to face difficulty or adversity in our lives and still stay faithful to Jesus. This is the Spirit that produces in us Christ-like, selfless, and sacrificial love that we can show to others. This is the Spirit that teaches us self-control and self-discipline as we face temptations to abandon Christ, but rather we stay self-controlled and pursue him. But let's finish the passage by reading 2 Timothy 1, 8 through 12. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know in whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. So Paul urges Timothy to not be ashamed of the message of Jesus, but to be willing to suffer for the gospel. What type of things are you willing to suffer for? Probably those things that are most important, right? Those things that really do matter. Maybe you're willing to suffer for your family. Maybe you'd be willing to suffer for a righteous cause that you really believe in. Paul is saying that Christ is worth suffering for, that we are called to live for him, that he is absolutely worth suffering for. And Paul summarizes the gospel message in a few sentences, because he says he is worth suffering for because of what Jesus has done for us. That he says God has called us to a holy life, that he loves us, and that he sent Jesus to die for us. And that we now get to experience eternal life through faith in Christ because he broke the power of death through his resurrection. And this is something that we didn't deserve, but this is something that God has freely given to us through his grace when we place our faith in Jesus. So because of what Jesus did for us, we should let our lives be defined by Christ. If we believe this truth, if we believe that Jesus really did come to earth and that he died and rose again for us, and that we may experience forgiveness and eternal life through him, what other response do we have than to fully give our lives to him? What other response do we have than to fully submit to him and place him as the central focus of our lives and let the truth about Jesus shape everything about who we are and what we do? So I encourage you to let your life be defined by Christ. Well, seniors, I'm excited for what God has in store for you in the future. And again, I want to say we love you, and I want you to know that we are here for you. I encourage you to continue to pursue Christ and to make him most important in your life, the central focus of everything you do.